Well, it's good to be with you tonight. You've got something unique here, do you know that? If you come here week by week, you're probably not appreciated, but you've got something unique. I really feel that a lot of my work's been already done. You know, one guy said, if you get too much of the Spirit, you blow up. If you get too much of the Word, you dry up. So you need a balance of Spirit and Word. And a balance of Spirit and Word, you grow up. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks, Kath. I want to talk to you tonight just for a little while and really try and tap into what I feel the Holy Spirit is doing amongst you here in Ashington. Jesus had a conversation with a woman. She was a Samaritan woman. And the Bible tells us that it was near to the parcel of ground that Jacob had given to Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Genesis tells the account of Jacob building wells, and one of the wells that he built was in this place called Sychar. John chapter 4 tells this story very well of this conversation that Jesus had with this woman of Samaria. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he found out that when the Pharisees found out that Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John, he said, let's go back to Galilee. And so, leaving Judea, he was making his way back to Galilee, and the Word of God says he had to go through Samaria. He made a detour, and he made his way through the towns and the cities of the Samaritans until he comes to this parcel of ground where Jacob's well was. Isn't the Bible precise? It says it was the sixth hour. It was 12 o'clock noonday. And Jesus was tired with his journey. Saw David tonight. He looks absolutely worn out. Isn't it marvelous to realize that Jesus, in the body of his flesh, was a man just like us? He knew what it was to get tired. He was in a boat and fell asleep. Even a storm didn't wake him up. The disciples had to wake him up and say, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? And so Jesus was weary, the Bible says, with his journey. And he sat on the well, and the disciples went into the nearby town of Sychar to buy some food for the rest of the journey back to Galilee. And this woman comes to the well. She's surprised because sitting on the well is a young Jewish man. She's even more surprised when this young Jew asks for a drink. And she says, why is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me? I'm a Samaritan woman. Isn't it striking that she came to this well at the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, noonday? This wasn't the usual time when women drew water from the well. They would usually come early on. But this woman knew that if she went to the well at that time, there would be nobody there. This woman had lived a bit of a checkered life. She'd had five husbands. I wouldn't like to be one of her husbands, would you? She'd had five of them. And the man she was living with now, the Bible says it wasn't a husband. And so she had a bit of a checkered life. She knew if she went to the well any other time, she would have been the butt of scorn and ridicule from every woman in that town. They all knew her. They all knew the lifestyle that she lived. So she went when she thought nobody would be there. And she sees this young Jew and is surprised when he asks her for a drink. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said, how is it you've got nothing to draw with? This well is deep. How then did you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He drank from it himself, and his family drank from it. Jesus said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw from it anymore. What a fascinating portion of scripture this is. As Jesus begins to unfold to this woman and to mankind living water that will become in those who drink a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I've entitled what I want to share with you tonight, A Well of Living Water. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take your word tonight. You will speak to every one of us. I pray that, Lord, the word of the Lord will come afresh to our lives tonight. Lord, we pray that as we, Lord, look into this living water that you said to this woman, that if she drank it, she would never thirst again. I pray that, Lord, the revelation of God will come upon our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Five things that Jesus says about this water. The first one is this. This living water that he spoke about is a gift from God. Notice what he said. He said, if you knew the gift of God. If you only knew the gift of God. Friends, it's an amazing thing that not every person knows the gift of God. We are living in a world where not many people know what the gift of God is. And that's why we need, as believers, to be bold in making Jesus Christ known. If only you knew the gift of God. This water can't be earned. It can't be bought. It's a gift. It's given freely by God to all who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Romans 6:23, the gift of God, come on, you know it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this living water, he's referring to it as God's great gift of salvation. This gift that is offered freely to all mankind. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who is thirsty come. Come and let him drink. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Whoever desires, thank God this gift is for the whomsoever. Amen. Whoever desires, let him come and let him drink of the water of life freely. So God's great gift of salvation, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. The prophet Isaiah, he said this about this living water. He said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, that's great if you've got nothing in the bank, isn't it? You who've got no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Hallelujah. It's free. Glory to God. It costs absolutely nothing. It costs him everything. But it costs mankind nothing. It is a free gift. Notice the prophet Isaiah talked about coming to the waters and drinking. And he also said, come and get wine and milk. That spoke of abundance. It spoke of prosperity. It spoke of an abundance of everything. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly in all its fullness. Hallelujah. So God's universal gift of salvation It's free to all who will come. Or taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't it? I can't understand why people don't want to taste. Listen, friends, one taste, it spoils you for everything else. Get one taste of what the Lord's got to offer, and nothing else, nothing else. As a young fella at 19, I got a taste. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I got a taste of it, I wanted nothing else. Jesus fills and satisfies the life. For by grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? It is the gift of God. Thank God for this great gift of salvation, eh? Amen. Thank God tonight that many of us here can say that we have been saved. Right. Friends, it's been great to listen to the miracles that are happening. But let me tell you the greatest miracle of all. It's the salvation of a soul. It is the greatest miracle of all. Hallelujah. For a soul to be saved. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. And isn't it great to be saved tonight? Amen. To know that your name's in the book of life. Amen. There are millions of people, in fact there are thousands in Ashington tonight, don't know anything about this gift. Do you not know the gift of God? If only you knew the gift of God. Friends, if only the people out there tonight knew the gift of God. If only they knew it was free, without money and without price. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing it is to know the gift of God. And you are privileged people tonight because you know it. You know what the gift of God is. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he's referring to this water, this living water, as a gift from God. Secondly, he's referring to this water. Notice he refers to it as living water. It's not just water. It's not stale, it's not stagnant, it is living water. This living water, the prophet Ezekiel spoke about it. Not only did the prophet Ezekiel speak about it, but the apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he also had a revelation of the throne of God. And in Revelation 22, he said, out of the throne he saw pure water, clear as crystal, the river of life flowing. Ezekiel had the same vision. Friends, Davies talked about the return of the Lord. When he comes, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. The mountain will split in two. But the word of God tells us what will happen at that time as well. Because the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47 had a vision of living water. And the vision started in the house of God. It started in the house of the Lord, the temple in Jerusalem. And he saw water coming under the threshold of the doors of the temple. And the word of God says there he had a man who was with him. Now I believe that that man was the pre-incarnate Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42, I think it is, it talks about him being looking like bronze. And in his hand he had a measuring line. And the Lord and Ezekiel walked together, and they walked 1,000 cubits, a third of a mile. Friends, we've got to walk with God. And when you start walking with God, you've got to keep walking with God. They'd walked a third of a mile, and the man measured 1,000 cubits, a third of a mile. And when they got a third of a mile, the water that started off just like a trickle had now got ankle deep. Another third of a mile was measured and walked. This time the water was up to the knees. Another third of a mile was walked. This time it was up to the loins, up to the waist. And then after they'd walked another third of a mile, so they'd walked over a mile. This time, there was waters to swim in. It was so deep, it was a river. It couldn't be crossed. There's something about this river. The word of God says it went down the Judean wilderness, Been down there many times, Davy.
Yes, I have too.
Down the Judean wilderness, and it made its way to the lowest spot on the face of the earth, the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason, because nothing lives in it. 1,200 feet below sea level. And Ezekiel noticed when this river flowed, something miraculous was taking place, because he said everywhere the river went, there was life. And when the river comes and flows down the Arabah, the Judean wilderness, and it touches the Dead Sea comes to life. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, when this river touches the dead come to life. And that's what happened to us. There was a day when the river of God touched us. You who were dead in trespasses and in sins, you have now been made alive. Hallelujah. Isn't it marvelous to realize that we're alive tonight? Something of God has touched our lives and made us live. This river was living water. Hallelujah. Even the places you would have thought impossible came alive when this river was flowing by them. Are you getting the picture tonight? Are you getting the picture of the river of God? We were once dead, but now we live. Hallelujah. Ashington needs this living water. These surrounding areas need this living water, friends. Let me tell you, it's the only hope. The only hope. That somehow this living water gets out and begins to touch our communities. Begins to touch the Tyne and the Weir. Begins to touch Teesside. Begins to touch Southwest Durham. The Spirit of God moving in a powerful way. The third thing I notice about this living water, it satisfies.
Amen, amen.
Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst.
Yes.
This water of life, this living water, let me tell you, friends, without a shadow of doubt, it will satisfy the longings of your soul.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. You know, people are searching for satisfaction, aren't they? They're looking for it. If there's anything that eludes people, they're satisfied for a time. That's what Jesus meant when he said to this woman. He said, keep drinking the water that you drink. It'll satisfy you, your thirst for a time. There are things that satisfy people for a time.
Amen.
Relationships, material possessions, finance. It'll satisfy for a time. But let me tell you, friends, there is no lasting satisfaction. They will thirst again.
Amen.
Because in every one of us there is a piece that's missing that's God-shaped.
That's right.
And only God can fill it.
Amen.
There is a vacuum in every one of us that only God can fill.
Right.
And people are searching for satisfaction. And it's like grasping the wind. You know, was it the Beatles who used to sing that song? I can't get no satisfaction. Was it the Stones? That'll tell you my... It was the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. Well, bless God. Only Jesus can satisfy. There's an old hymn that used to say something like this. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, and ah, the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled, and they mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other person in this world can satisfy the soul of man but the Lord Jesus Christ. If you drink of the water that I will give, he said, you will never thirst again. Friends, I don't know if everyone's a Christian here tonight, but outside of Jesus Christ, you will never ever find satisfaction. You will never find it. You will search for it and never find it. You'll thirst again. You know, at the age of 19, I drank from this living water. 40-odd years later, it still satisfies my soul. You know what the guy said who were with me that night at the Locarno dance in Sunderland? And I turned around to them and said, you'll never find me here again. I'd been convicted for 6 weeks. I'd lived under deep conviction of sin, living my life as a young guy, plenty of money in my pocket, the world at my feet. But I wasn't satisfied. I used to lie in bed on a night and think, is this all there is to life? I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to go to work, and the whole process just start. I was satisfied for a time. Friday night till Sunday night, I was really satisfied. Come Monday morning, my satisfaction had gone. And I was waiting for it again. But I knew that what one night I'd been in church and I'd heard a young guy saying, if you die tonight, are you ready to meet God? I knew I wasn't. You know, sometimes when there's an appeal given, there is the Spirit of God working in your life and conviction. But I was afraid of what my friends and pals and what my life would be like, because my life revolved around nightclubs, dances, just living like most young guys do live. And I thought, how will I fill my time in? Boy, how will you fill your time in as a Christian? I want to tell you, friends, he gives you a full life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they turned to me that night under conviction. I wasn't drunk. It was about up past 11 at night, walking into the Locarno dance. And I turned to them. I said, you'll never, ever find me here again. They thought I'd gone mad. You know what they said? We'll give you 6 weeks. Well, it's been a lot more than 6 weeks. Only a fool goes on looking for what he's already found. Is that right? Only a fool goes on looking for what he's already found. This living water, friends, I want to say it's satisfied. The fourth thing I want to say is this. This living water dwells within. Notice what Jesus said. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of living water. It will become in him. Friends, you don't have to look where this living water is. It's in us. Paul said we've got this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. Our bodies have become temples of the Holy Ghost. Where does God dwell? He dwells in us. We become God's house. We become God's habitation. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Paul said, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives where?
In me.
Hallelujah. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. The Bible says, glorify God in your body and in your spirits. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water. We can't see it because you can't see the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, friends, the Spirit of God dwells within us tonight. Hallelujah. This living water dwells within each of us, and it affects every part of our lives. He affects. Let's call the Holy Spirit He, because He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And He affects every part of our lives. Notice, friends, what Jesus said. He said it would be springing up, quickening us, making us alive, healing us, cleansing us, delivering us. The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He also who raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, it's better to walk in divine health than divine healing. Divine healing is God's answer to ill health. But we can walk and be in health, and we can prosper even as our souls prosper. Hallelujah. We have got the greater one living in us. In us there shall be rivers of living water. What a treasure this is in an earthen vessel. What a treasure you've got tonight living with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I say, friends, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. We are carriers of the anointing of God. On that great day of the feast, that last great day, the Feast of Tabernacles, as the priests were carrying the water from the pool of Siloam back towards the temple and pouring it out as an offering. This young Jew stood and cried, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being there shall flow rivers of living water." This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus hadn't been glorified. But when he was glorified, on the day of Pentecost, that last great day of the Feast of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven, like as of a mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The river came. Hallelujah. It came amongst them. It came within them. Hallelujah. Friends, I want to tell you, we don't have to look for the Spirit of God. He's in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He lives within us. Are you getting the picture tonight? Of this living water? This river bringing life wherever it goes? What did Jesus say? Out of you will flow rivers of living water. Go and wait in Jerusalem, and there you'll receive the promise of the Father. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the age. You will be my witnesses. Hallelujah. Out of you, Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. Can I say, friends, the baptism in the Holy Ghost was never given for us individually. The baptism in the Holy Ghost was given for a world that needs Jesus. He said, you shall be my witnesses. And if you read the Acts of the Apostles, and if you read the story of the early church, this river was flowing through the lives of ordinary people. And wherever they went, they were bringing life. These who have turned the world upside down, they've come here. These are unlearned and ignorant men, but they had something within them that was powerful. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you take the river of life. And I want to tell you, friends, the dead places come to life. Just like that vision Ezekiel had, the dead places live. Even the people you think are the most unlikely, when this river touches them, they come alive. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, you went to Carlisle last night, you took the river. And the river brought life. And when you go to work tomorrow, you're taking the river of God with you. And people should know the presence of God. They should know that we are different. Because we are different. Friends, we are different. The difference is the Holy Ghost who dwells within us. We are carriers of the anointing of God. You don't have to look for the anointing to come down. The Bible says the anointing dwells within. We have an anointing from the Holy One, and the anointing dwells within. But the anointing's got to flow out. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. And as the river begins to flow, the dead begin to live. The blind eyes are opened. Hallelujah. Look at the Acts of the Apostles. Friends, we're still living in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. Hallelujah. We're still seeing the wonders of that God is doing in the earth through ordinary people who are allowing the river to flow out of them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They shall know their God. They'll be strong. They'll do exploits. These signs will follow them that believe. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to say about this living water, it gives eternal life. It shall be in him a fountain of water welling up to eternal life. Friends, we don't have to wait until we die to get eternal life. We've got it now.
Amen.
It's our present possession.
That's right.
John said, you shall know
Amen.
That you have eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God, eternal life makes all the difference. Friends, we don't have to wait until we die. We have it
Amen.
Right now. That makes some sense of the words of Jesus, doesn't it?
Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he may die, yet shall he live.
That's right.
And whoever lives and believes in me, wait for it, shall never die. He who lives, how many are living and believing in Jesus tonight? He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Isn't it marvelous we're never going to die? The Bible talks about going to sleep. All that's going to die, friends, is this old body of ours that we carry around. But one day we're going to get a glorious new body. Hallelujah. We believe in the resurrection. The Bible says, happy are those who take part in the first resurrection. We really believe that Jesus is coming again. There will be a sound from heaven like the shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I've often wondered where that's going to be. Where are we going to meet the Lord? I really believe that we're going to meet him over Jerusalem. In the clouds. Have you ever been on a plane? And as the plane is about 35,000 feet above the clouds, you look at that vast expanse. And the last time I got hold of this, the last time I went to Israel, and we were coming into Tel Aviv, we were right up and there was nothing but blue sky. And as far as the eye could see, this vast expanse, I thought, one day, Lord, this place is going to be littered full of the armies of heaven. Hallelujah. The saints from all ages are going to fill these skies. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And those who sleep in Jesus, those who've gone to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We know where our loved ones are who've died in Christ. When he comes, he'll empty heaven. For those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with them into the air.
That's right.
And they will go back to their bodies. And I don't know how God will do it. I don't know how God knows every particle of dust, but he does.
That's right.
And friends, they're in some form in heaven right now. But they're not in their resurrected body.
Amen.
But they do, I mean to say, they've got bodies. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared, and Peter said, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Who told him it was Moses and Elijah? The Bible says, we shall know as we are known. They knew instantly that they were in the glory. They knew instantly it was Moses and Elijah. But Moses and Elijah, we know, didn't die. He was caught up to heaven. Who was the other one who didn't die?
Enoch.
He walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Book of Revelations talks about two witnesses that will appear on the streets of Jerusalem. And they will be slain. And their dead bodies will lie on the streets. And the nations of the earth will rejoice because of the trouble that they've caused in turning people to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
One day, they'll be raised. But they're not in... The saints in glory now are not in their resurrected bodies. They're in some form that are known, but not the resurrected body. Friends, one day we're going to have a glorious new body. Hallelujah. This body is going to be destroyed by worms one day, or it's going to be burnt in a furnace until there's nothing but dust. But I want to tell you, our spirits, absent from the body, present with the Lord, we're going straight to be with the Lord when we die. Hallelujah. In fact, we can never die because we have eternal life. He that believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, bless God. We better wind up, eh? The woman said, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not." That day she left her water pot. She ran into the town, and she told everybody, "Come and see a man who's told me everything that I've ever did. Is this not the Christ, the Savior of the world?" The disciples came back from buying food, and they were surprised that he's Jesus alone with this woman. Through the conversation, as they'd been making their way back to him, they must have been walking through the fields that were almost ripe and ready for harvest. And the conversation must have gone something like this. They'd got food from the town. In 4 months, the harvester will be the harvesters will be in these fields. They'll be gathering the harvest. Jesus, when they came back to him, he said this, "Do not say." Isn't it marvelous? He knows every conversation. He wasn't there, but he knew what they'd been talking about. "Do not say there are yet 4 months, and then the harvest is here. I tell you, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white, all ready to harvest." What was he looking at? He was looking at a trickle of people that became a stream that was coming out of the city on the words of that woman, "Come and see a man." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "That's the harvest I want you to get your eyes on. The lost souls of men and women. Those who are perishing. Get your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look around, folks. The fields are white. And they are ready for harvest." The last days of the American Civil War, and the blue coats, the Yankees, were really on top. The grey coats, the Confederates, they were getting a real bad beating. And so they went and recruited every young man that they could. They went through villages, towns, farms. They recruited one young guy. He was called Jim. All he joined with was the gun that he used to shoot squirrels with on the farm. And he found himself on the battle line, facing the blue coats, the Yankees. And the bugle was given for charge, and over the top they went and out towards them. And again, they took a severe beating. Jim joined all the others as they went out. And the bugle sounded the call for retreat, and they all began to come back. And as they came back, they counted those who'd been lost. And one was heard to comment, "Poor Jim. He was killed in his first battle." And daytime turned to dusk, and it began twilight, and they saw two men approaching the camp. The one in the front had a blue uniform on. The one behind had a grey uniform on, and he was prodding this blue coat back to the camp. And as they got nearer, they began to shout, "It's Jim! It's Jim! Jim's got a prisoner!" When they got back into the camp, they were overjoyed that Jim had got a prisoner. Jim thought they'd all deserted him. They said, "Where did you get him?" He said, "Where did I get him?" He said, "Look out there." He said, "The place is full of them." He said, "Why don't you go out and get one for yourselves?" Friends, the fields are full of them. They're white, ready to harvest. God wants us to get out of our trenches that we call the four buildings of the church, to lift up our eyes to the real harvest field, and to get out there to where the harvest really is. The word of God says that Jesus stayed 2 more days in that place. I would have liked to have been there, wouldn't you? 2 more days. And this is what they said after those 2 days, where he must have done some amazing things amongst them. They said, "And many more believed because of his own word." Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, we've been in here a couple of hours now, and the living water has been flowing. And I guess we're all tonight those who love the Lord. If you don't know the Lord tonight, there are only two groups of people in this world. Those who have the Son of God and those who don't. The Bible says those who have the Son of God have got life. Those who have not the Son of God do not have life. But the wrath of God abides upon them. The wages of sin is death. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you could come here all your life, sit amongst and enjoy. But if you've never repented, if you've never asked Christ into your life, you are lost. Those who have the Son of God have got not life, have no life. And if that's your condition tonight, and you alone know, thank God the river's flowing. And tonight the river of God can touch you and bring life. The Holy Spirit can give you life tonight. Hallelujah. I guess most of us have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Paul had asked that question. Have you received the... If you've not yet received the Holy Spirit as a believer, friends, you're not a second-class citizen. You're just missing out on so much that God's got for you.
Amen.
He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John baptized in water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. We want the fire, don't we?
Amen. Definitely.
So if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, can I encourage you to say to Debbie, I need to be baptized in the Spirit. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I need this river. And every one of us tonight who are filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus said it shouldn't just stay in here. Out of us would flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. I pray that wherever we go, our words, our life, our presence will affect the communities where we live.
Right.
Friends, you'll go into work tomorrow, perhaps the only Christian. You are taking the presence of God with you. Hallelujah. No wonder people know that you're different.
Amen.
People know that we are different.
Right.
Friends, if there's no difference after we become a Christian, there's something wrong.
Amen.
People should know that we are different. They might ridicule you. They might scoff you behind your back. But let me tell you, when they're in trouble, they know who to come to. They know who to come to. May God help us. May the river of God flow. I pray, Davey, it'll flow here in Ashington and beyond. When you go to Tenerife, you're taking the river with you. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. Father, I just pray that as Davey goes to Tenerife on Tuesday, I pray that, Lord, it will be the most successful time that he's ever had in God. My prayer for him, Lord, is that, Lord, the river of God will flow to bring life in dead places. Hallelujah.